Now, I want us to truly be confident that God does not have a problem with us crying out, even in these post-New Testament days. I know some people might be tempted to think, well, hold on now. This is an Old Testament. This isn't the time of Job. I hear you loud and clear. But there are some experiences that mankind has that are common to mankind no matter what period of time we're in, no matter what period of history you're in. There are experiences that are common to mankind no matter when we live. And remember, the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And His ears are always open to the cries of His people. Not just during Job's day, not just during Old Testament days, not even just during New Testament days. He is always God. He is always Father. And as Father, He always cares about what's going on with His children. And so He knows that there are going to be times when we're going to need to cry out. The Lord Jesus, responding to the cries of people who came to Him, begging Him for sight, begging Him to heal their sick or their possessed children. Listen to what happened with Jesus Himself. We know that after having completed the vast majority of His work on this earth, it was time for Him to be betrayed and arrested, to go through the toughest time of His life, where for a period of time, He would actually be forsaken by His Father because of our sins. He knew that time was coming. And so what did He do? Did He go out and buy a gallon of ice cream to deal with stress? No, He prayed. He went with His disciples, Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 36. Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 36. Then Jesus went with His disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and He said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with Him, and He began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then He said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." I know that it can be so easy for us to read that and read it so fast that we don't really pick up on what Jesus actually said to them. We don't pick up on where He was emotionally and mentally at that time. But ladies and gentlemen, He told us where He was. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, He fell with His face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as You will." What an example of perfect submission, complete submission. We have the Lord Jesus knowing that He is getting ready to be forsaken by His Father. I know that for a lot of us, we would think about this from a physical standpoint, and we think about the physical beatings that He was about to, because we read the story, we already know now what took place. We would think about those people hitting Him in His face. We would think about them using those whips to just strip the body, the skin off His body. We would think about them making that crown that was made from thorns and then shoved down on His head with the thorns digging into His skin, digging into the flesh. And we're right to think about that, because all that was part of the suffering. terrible suffering. But that was not all of the suffering. Jesus knew he was going to be beaten to the point where he wouldn't even look like a human being. Yes, he did know that. He did know that most of the people who were with him were going to run and leave him by himself. And man, if there's ever a time when we need moral support, it is when we are truly being persecuted. He knew that his friends were going to leave him. His closest followers, the 11. I know he started out with 12, but remember now, Judas was going to betray him and then hang himself, leaving him with 11. Judas was never loyal to him anyway. So we're only counting the 11 when we talk about those who were truly his friends and his closest confidants, who followed him out of love and devotion, loyalty. 11 of them. He knew that they were going to scatter. But that wasn't the worst part about it. The fact that his body was going to be terribly brutalized and he was going to be left for a while with no humans there with him. That's not, both of those things together are not what bothered him the most. What was bothering Jesus the most is knowing that all those other things were going to be happening because his Father was going to be allowing it to happen, because his Father willed it to happen, because his Father was going to forsake him and make sure that it happened. Why? Because he was made to be sin for us. And because he was made to be sin for us, his Father, Jesus' Father, whom he only loved with all his being, all his existence, and his Father who loved him with all his being, all his existence, now forsaking the Son he loved. And Jesus, knowing that was coming, said, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." No matter how tough it was going to be, he was willing to go through it in order to do the will of the Father, in order to please his Father to the max. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" We read those few sentences, and it's almost as though Jesus spent 5 minutes or less praying. But we're only given a synopsis of what the prayer was about. He was in prayer for a full hour. When he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping, "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." Notice now, he knew that there was a way for the cup to be taken from him. His Father could say, "Okay, look, I'm not going to put you through this," and shut everything down, not forsake him, not have him go through all that he was going to go through. That was one way that he could have the cup taken from him. Another way for him to have the cup taken, though, was to go ahead and go through all that the Father had determined he was to go through, knowing that would not last forever, that it would come to its end, and then the suffering would all be over forever. The cup would be taken, and he would never have to drink from it again, ever again. "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. And when we come back, I want to share with you a perspective that sheds even more light on what the Lord Jesus was going through at that time. Matthew definitely helps us get a sense of what that pain was like. His soul overwhelmed to the point of death. Now Luke is going to give us an account that helps us grasp even more clearly what he was going through. We're talking about crying out to God. If Jesus could, can we?